September 21, 2022, is a lot for Pedro show.
And also, this is a question. Ornette Coleman, you mentioned some words great or something, but if you have another comment about it.
No, I said he was a great leader.
Leader.
Yeah, and this is, to me, that's a great thing to be.
I see. Well, that's a little bit ordinary regulations, but Roland Clark, that's coming up third. If you have some comment.
Well, he's another great instrumentalist.
Also, MJQ, they are going to England this coming September and October, the news says, and ask about more than just quartet. Do you have some comment about this quartet?
Well, the quartet, MJQ?
MJQ, yes.
That's a very good quartet.
Also. And lastly, the Charlie Mingus.
I admire his work.
Well, I think that.
Show Happy Wednesday. Started it off with John Coltrane gets asked by Kazuaki Sugimoto about different musicians in Tokyo in 1966, and then we had Starlight Mints. Oh, fuck. You know, I hurt my knee and put a bearing on him. No, I can't blame my knee for that. That was stupid. The Starlight Mints with Eyes of the Night. Right,
cool.
That's it. The writing's too small, and because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got all the way from Oklahoma City. Double V, Alan and Barb, welcome aboard.
Thanks, Mike.
And we got to give Howard credit, right, for the connect.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
We love Howard.
Yeah, yeah. He was my publicity man at Columbia.
Oh, cool.
14 years.
And, really? Wow.
But I knew him before that. You know, he was in the Nurses, and he was an old friend of Don Fleming's. And
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he's got a great history. That's part of the reasons why we were so happy to hook up with him.
Yeah, and especially, you know, World of Jive, it's good to have some genuine. And let's get to your journeys of music. Alan has agreed to go first.
Ha.
Alan, please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Man, I think, like, my for some reason, my earliest recollection of music, I've been thinking about this. There was, like a little music box that played the theme to The Godfather that we had. Like, I don't know, it was, like, in my bedroom.
Mandolin.
Yeah. And so I was just, like, I didn't know what The Godfather was, you know. It was just this, but the melody.
I'll tell you what it was. It was the first time there was an ethnicity given to gangsters. If you watch those 30s things, like there's no Italian, no Irish, no Jewish, you know.
Yeah.
It's just all guys with New York accents, right? So Godfather was really heavy on that thing where it assigns an ethnicity to crap. I guess there was a couple other movies before that, but that was a big daddy.
Yeah, I mean, I was you know, a young kid.
Have you ever been to the city, the North Beach? What's it called? The cafe, what's that city? Trieste. Huh? He wrote it.
Up east?
San Francisco, the North Beach part. There's by Molinari, great fucking deli. They make the salamis in the back.
Anyway,
go on with your story. Okay, so there's a music box.
Yeah, so I remember that music box, and then some of my earlier memories are like this record I had was like Goofy Gold. Oop, what was that? Goofy Gold, and it had all these like, you know, like Beep Beep by the Playmates, Charlie Brown by the Coasters, Mr. Custer, Purple People Eater, Wooly Bully, Monster Mash, that kind of thing.
Alley-oop
was on there.
Kim Fowley, right?
Yeah, I loved that stuff when I was a kid.
I met him a couple times. Weird guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, tall, but not very kind of, what was her name? The bass player? Jackie Fox. Yeah, terrible. So, where was this pad you grew up in?
Where did I grow up?
Well, you're talking about where these things happened.
Yeah, well, I was born in Houston, and then we moved to Oklahoma when I was 8. So kind of, you know, all okay. This is sort of, it's all blurry, you know.
In the pad you grew up in, was there musical instruments besides that?
We had a piano. We had a piano. That was the first thing we had. Out of tune, but, you know, you could still pick out of tune.
Did you have to go through the thing of the piano lesson?
I did.
What was it good or bad for you?
It was bad.
Yeah,
bad.
Most of my guests on the show, 21 years, 4 months.
Yeah. Barb's going to say something different on that.
Yeah, some have a good one.
Yeah.
But most it's... I've had people almost quit music because of that experience.
Yeah, so I was adopted as a kid, so I didn't have any musical people in my family. So I was like, I had to sort of push the boundaries. I was like, I want a guitar. I wanted a guitar like when I was 8.
Well, what made the piano lessons lame?
I think my brain doesn't work well with like wanting to like. Look at notes. I want to play notes. I want to memorize stuff.
So you don't blame the teacher. You blame yourself. That's
yeah.
Bitching.
That's but my teacher wanted me to, like, she's like, I want you to, she knew I was creative. So she was like, I want you to write a song in F sharp. So using all black keys, you know?
I know.
So I was like, that's the easiest thing in the world. I'm just going to make it up as I go.
Speaking of all black keys.
Yeah, I just made up this thing in front of her because I knew I could. And she got mad at me. I got in trouble. And then my mom just pulled me out of the lessons, you know.
Curtis Mayfield tuned his guitar to the black keys. There's like four F
really?
Sharp, and there's four F sharps.
That's great.
Yeah, like four F sharps. Yeah, and he played this trippy thing without a pick, but he got paralyzed. In fact, I was lucky to see the gig before that happened. He was doing a tour of the cities. He was in Long Beach,
wow.
And it happened in Brooklyn. So, what about in school? Were you in the marching band?
No. I was in the orchestra. So I was cello and viola were my first. Kind of thing. So that kind of carried on over to when I started writing songs. But and then like a little after getting the cello a couple of years, I finally got my first guitar. Maybe like 12 or 13, and that kind of changed everything. Yeah.
So what was the first record you bought with your own money?
Well, I did that whole, like, penny, you know, you get the records for a penny.
Well, I remember Dime from the Columbia record.
Yeah. My parents didn't know either. I did it behind, you know, I found a penny and mailed it off, put my name in, and I got, like, some really bad, like, Kiss records, and then a Boston, Captain and Tennille.
So that, your own money was a penny.
Great,
okay,
you know?
Yeah.
What was good the first, on the albums.
What was the first gig you saw?
Well, I saw a bunch of gigs.
No, first.
I know, but, like, I saw a bunch of stuff when I was, like, at, like, I don't remember, like, first gig. I think, I mean, like...
Remember, it's a Walk for Pivo show. There's no wrong answers, and there's no hard
okay,
questions.
Well, it's like the first... I feel like the first real, like, life-changing gig I saw was whenever I was in college. I saw the Ramones. And in that same year, I saw Sonic Youth. Those were, like, you know, come to me, I think, the first gig.
Yeah, but I didn't ask you your first important gig. I said first gig. I'm just curious, because...
I remember seeing, like, Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
So you were taken to them by older people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Miller Band. And then later, like, you know, Tears for Fears, Journey, you know.
Well, just your first, you know. I asked the first because it only happens once.
I don't remember first. I remember that.
That's all right. What about this, your first guitar? What was it?
It was a PV T15.
And what was, what was your first amp?
It was the amp was in the case of the guitar.
Oh, like a Silvertone.
Yeah, I had a Silvertone later on, too.
Okay.
Like one of those, like...
By the way, people, that's a Sears version of the Dan Electro.
Yeah.
Right. Let me ask you this. After school, not graduating, but in the afternoon, did you get in a garage band, a bedroom band, basement band thing?
I did a little bit. I had a best friend, and we jam guitar, you know, just me and guitar and him and drums. And I learned drums, too, because he had a drum set. He would go out of town, and they would, like, I would take care of their animals. So I would, like, get on those drums, you know. And that was, like, really important for me.
Yes. I think one of the there should be two requirements for graduating in the U.S. You have to visit foreign countries. You got to learn drums. I think if you learn drums, you can play anything because it's all about rhythm, right?
Yeah, I love. I mean, I totally could have been a drummer.
Even in the orchestra when you're doing little accents and shit, right? That's still heavy stuff. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Okay, now did this band have a name?
Oh no, not like I don't.
So it was just practice, right?
Yeah. That was practice. I didn't really get into, like, bands until I was in college.
Okay.
So I started writing songs, like, maybe 20.
Can you remember the first song you wrote?
Yeah, it was called Filth.
The Felt?
Filth.
Felt.
Like dirty, filth.
Oh, filth.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kitanai.
Yeah, it was drop D. Drop D tuning.
Sucio. I think Espanol. What was Filth? Filth, did you bring it to a band, or was it just man alone?
Yeah. I brought it to the band. They dug it. You know.
Well, the guest I last had on, his first years was just doing man alone with a four track.
Yeah, well, that was later for me, like a couple years later.
Yeah, everybody's got a different
path. Got the four track, you know.
So, okay.
Four track changed my life. It was like life changing.
What was the first gig for Filth? I mean, the band that played.
Burn Wagon. Yeah, one word, Burn Wagon.
Okay, but when did Burn Wagon, first gig for Burn Wagon?
Oh, man. Probably opened up for the Chainsaw Kittens.
Oh, I remember those cats.
Yeah. We opened up for the Chainsaw Kittens.
Okay, like, and was it a success?
No, I mean, for me personally, no. I think people dug it, though. Yeah, I mean, people dug it. To me, like, it was really hard on myself, so... I wasn't a very good singer at first. It took me a long time. I mean, I just kind of jumped into singing.
How old were you?
Probably 20.
Oh, college, right?
Yeah.
And I'm curious, how long did Burn Wagon last?
Probably nuts. No more than a year, you know. And then moved on to another project. One of the Chainsaw Kittens guys quit. Chainsaw Kittens and I... formed a band with him called Shrinker.
Okay. And what was Shrinker like?
Shrinker, yeah.
Shrinker, I'm sorry.
I was into, like, kind of Sonic Youth a little bit. So I was kind of, like, doing the weird tunings on my guitar. And then my bandmate, Kevin McElhaney from the Kittens, he was kind of into Sid Barrett. So we were kind of like teaching, you know, we're kind of like all over the map. But it was, that was kind of bad. I didn't have a tuner yet. So like, it was like really, our shows were kind of lame because we would be tuning half the time, trying to get in tune, you know.
You ever hear any Stooges bootlegs? Fucking James Williams. They're still out of tune.
Yeah, I mean, the tuner was like the best invention ever.
Minutemen never had them.
Yeah, we were watching we watched your documentaries, and you, I saw the tuner, though, in a later documentary, like, you know, from about 20 years ago.
I remember at Radio Tokyo we used a tuner, but not at gigs. So we would just try to get flat as the gig went on together.
Yeah.
And even with broken strings and shit, I remember the first paid gig we did, D-Boom broke two strings. He just kept charging. You know, you didn't give a fuck.
Yeah. Well, that's what you did, man. When you break a string, you just got to keep going.
Yeah. So after Shrinker, is that Starlight Mints?
Yeah. I mean, I took some years to kind of, like, to do four tracking and get better at songwriting. And so I just kind of took, you know, it was just like I was in my own little world for a couple of years and then started, you know, to play live again. I mean, that kind of took off from there, you know.
Well,
got a lot of confidence.
I want to play Submarine Number 3.
Rolling around, frog on my hand, holy Shazam. I Someday you'll ever guide. And someday you'll ever guide. And someday you'll ever guide. beginning of our people and our language. Much of it has been lost, and I am now trying to compile it. My father, Chief Sachem of the Wampanoags. I, his daughter, Gathitha, now talking.
Offer Pedro Show. That chunk of music started out with Starlight Mints. In fact, the very first Starlight Mints song, I've Been Enlightened by Alan here. Submarine Number 3. Then we had Brand New from Roger Clark Miller. Dream Interpretation Number 17. Then his ex-drummer man, who's playing guitar now, Peter, Mini Beast is the name, Proj, and it's exclusive is the title. New from Uni and the Urchins, which is funny because Uni is Japanese for urchin eggs, right? A row. Doll Parts, Catherine Moore, Brand New Stranger, Dame Area out of Barcelona, Hasta en Fin, I am Predanto, yeah, excuse me, and Mark Stewart with Tayo, Tayo's son. Spencer Pepet, Brand New record, soundtrack, scored one to his little films. And Medicine Singers with a Cry, and Midwestern Medicine off their new album, Cobweb Calls for the Queen. And finally, Starlight Mints, Inside of Me. So, I'm assuming, since you're saying the four track was really important.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And I've got an 8-track later on.
No, what I mean is you made demos for the band.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
And then we, you know, the band tried to use the four track to make, you know, demos of the band. That was always even harder, you know.
Of course.
You know.
Of course. Man Alone, yeah, is another thing. We should get into Barb's story of her journey. Can you bring your earliest musical memory, Barb?
Earliest musical memory is probably of my mother sitting playing the piano. I had a very musical family. Her mother, my grandmother, was also a composer and playwright. And so there was always music growing up in my house, either mom playing or, you know, playing records. And
did you listening. Jump on that piano?
Oh, I did a little bit. I mean, started taking lessons when I was about
okay,
6 years old.
Okay, what was your experience? So. Was it good or bad?
Oh, it was great. I mean, always a little frustrating because it was never really as good as I wanted to be, you know, still are not, but yeah, no, it was always, you know, an exciting thing for me to look forward to.
What was the first record you bought with your own money?
Probably the Violent Femmes self-titled cassette.
Okay. I wasn't there. You have to tell me when I get the mind-reading thing worked out. But, yeah. First gig you saw?
First gig was Fugazi, 1991. In Edmond at a preservation hall.
Brian Ritchie runs his fucking underground art museum on Tasmania, the acoustic bass man in the Milwaukee band, right? Fams. Brother Steve McKay.
Oh, yeah, Brian Ritchie. I met him. I played with the Fams live once. Played cello on Good Feeling.
So you're still playing past school? You kept up with the cello?
Yeah. I mean,
great.
So it's in a lot of the Starlight Mint songs and
fifths.
All of them. Yeah, a lot of cello and strings and stuff, yeah.
Fifths, different than guitar and bass and stuff.
Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt Barb.
That's okay.
okay.
Were you in the choir, the marching band, Barb?
I was in show choir and chorus in junior high and did not continue in that in high school, but loved it in junior high. Mr. Wong, our really great choir director, and went to lots of contests and, you know, sang a solo of the Bengals' Eternal Flame 1 year, so.
Now, like I asked Alan, did you do the bedroom, basement, garage band thing?
Not really. Really, my first really official band experience is Double V with Alan. I mean, I've tinkered a little bit here and there. I sang backup, you know, for tribute shows and some other bands, and briefly sang with the band for a little bit in early college, but.
You know, Vincent only painted his last 10 years. Mr.
Wells,
yeah, Mr. Wells said, we will sell no wine before it's time. I mean, you don't have to be a Mozart prodigy, I think, to get into music. Sometimes it might be like a Grandma Moses. Remember that lady painting?
Right.
Right later on. Sometimes that's the way it works out. Okay, so tell me how Double V got together then.
Well, we first met in 2010 at the conservatory, which is actually where we saw you last about 10 years ago.
It's had several names. I think it's 89th Street now.
Yeah, it's 89th Street now, and you'll be there next month, we hear, with Flipper.
I blew my knee out.
So you won't be.
Yeah. I mean, it was already peg leg. I was born with Osgood Slaughter and bad knees, but man, Well, whatever. I'm not going to bellyache, right?
Sorry about that. But yeah, we met at the conservatory. He had just moved to Oklahoma from Texas a couple weeks before that.
I spent a couple years in Texas.
And it was a benefit for Haiti, and he was there with a mutual friend, and I just ran up to say hi to the friend, and he introduced us, and it was just kind of brief because I felt a little bit awkward because I had seen the band Starlight Mints play once the year before at the Norman Music Festival, but had not actually listened to any of his music, so felt a little guilty and a little awkward. So
and that was okay by me, and it was kind of cool. I thought, and you know, she didn't.
What was the first Double V song?
Jack the Rider.
Yeah.
Did you use the four track?
Jack the Rider. That was a few years later. I mean, we got together, you know, a couple of months really after that meeting time. And then Jack the Rider we released as our first kind of demo in 2013.
I didn't mean release. I meant like you wrote together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, a lot of the basis for us, the majority of our songs comes from all of those old four tracks where he has, you know, hundreds of little snippets of ideas, like 30 seconds here, you know, a minute there. And so we would just listen through and find one that we thought we could.
Well, it's really
we're talking about the stuff Alan wrote for Starlight Mints?
Oh, just in general, not necessarily for the Mints. I mean, always had other aspirations beyond that, too, you know, film scoring and things like that and solo work. So
So Double V stuff at the beginning came out of that stuff before you started writing together.
Yeah. I mean, I've just been one of those people that, like, every time I have an idea, I put it to tape or put it to, now it's a computer, you know, since about 2000, it's been like, you know, everything's on, you know, the Mac.
Yeah, so, they're digital tape recorders. You know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
With a graphic thing, no razor blade.
Can you imagine
editing with a razor blade on a 2-inch?
See, I never did the razor blade stuff. Like,
but I'm just saying. In some ways, it's
fun,
little
though.
You got it right.
But I was a broadcast journalism major and at OU, and I was in the last group to get to do
Sooners
physical tape editing because they just phased it out then. So I was the very last to get to actually splice tape together, and I enjoyed it.
The big person in that was Delia Derbyshire, the lady who did the Doctor Who thing. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, September 21, 2022, edition Watt Pete Rush, special guest, Double V, Hang Tough, Hour 2. September 21, 2022, it's the second hour of the Watt Pete Rush.
Tried to get you out of the sun. Then I tried to fight you off like a matador. Then I was bored. Tried to fly you back to the sun. Then you were attacked by giant centipedes. Now I'm set free. Now I'm set free. Now I'm set free. Watching you flop and scoop and look at it. No, I won't slow down until you're good and ready. Like a matador bell, it doesn't end well. Only to find your tears paddling wet, outracing you in fear. Only to find my tears. I've been raining inside your ears. matador. But only to find your tears paddling with, outracing your fears. Only to find my tears. I can't look up, you almost have me hypnotized. Watching you bluff, what's good for me?
George himself who gave the Herman Band its sobriquet by referring to it as the Thundering Herd. Interviewed in the 1970s, Woody recalled that first herd.
People coming to the band like Chubby Jackson and Bill Harris, and later Flip Phillips, and so I thought we turned that into 1945.
Activities to the Pacific in the pay of Uncle Sam.
Get moving.
Directly from Inner Spring Mattresses, right to the
end is near.
Now, we weren't in any direct action.
And you're all
told. Folded up tent and said, up the hill. That's your place. We had to wait sometimes till they built roads before we could go to the next place to perform. Everybody and everybody. We'd play something up, a bugle call rag or something, and they would be jumping with joy. It was really a very emotional experience.
When Ray was a trumpeter in Glenn's band, he found that the musicians themselves weren't
quite as keen on their output as the public.
During intermissions, when we played the Pennsylvania Hotel, they used to go across the street to the bar and listen to Benny Goodman's band, because that's the kind of music they enjoyed. Then come back and go to work playing the kind of music.
Yeah. there you sit, explaining. As people pass on the foggy day, sitting there apologizing, giving them their warning.
Second hour with Double V and Matador Bell, Ben Salter from Tasmania. And in fact, I think he's living in that fucking museum in some kind of residence, NFTS, which I don't understand, right? Non-fungible fuck, jive, Ponzi scheme, shite. Look, I used an England word there. Shiverboard with Compassion Patch, Zach Rosen, Too Late, Sarah Davachi, brand new album, The Last Part, Horde of Two, I Can't Dance, and Double V. Written Dawn comes tonight. So tell me about the first Double V gig.
It hasn't happened yet. We're a studio band. But we've been practicing.
The Dan.
What?
The Dan, Steely Dan.
Yeah, I mean, like, seriously, like, I mean, I did the whole Starlight Men's thing. We toured 10 years and I met Barb, and I just, like, let's just keep this studio. You know, we got to.
Well, we had a concept for our first album, The Moonlit Fables of Jack the Rider. We had kind of a big concept behind it and wanted to have, like, a rotating stage and big sets designed by Grant Fuest, our album artist, and just didn't really have the budget for it. And
wow, yeah. But if you were in the Flaming Lips.
Yeah.
Now, I got to tell you about it. When I met Wayne, he told us, he came to the Minutemen gig at a pad called the Bowery. And
yeah.
He would let us talk at his pad. He had all these drawings and artworks. And he told us his name was Luigi. For a couple of years, I thought his name was Luigi. And I found out later it was a name tag he found. He was running, managing some Long John Silver.
Long John Silver.
Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, Luigi and his brother was singing.
And yeah,
he was on guitar,
singing, yeah.
Right? Michael yeah. was still there, and but Stephen wasn't on the drums. And interesting guy. But I love this idea, Oklahoma, big, you dream big.
Yeah.
So you didn't have the funds to put that on. Or maybe you will. So that maybe that'll be your first
Yeah, we are practicing as a four-piece.
Yeah, we did recruit two new live members.
You know, like post-pandemic, you know, kind of like it's tough right now, but we're still, you know, we're
Yeah, we just got our bivalent vaccines, so we're starting to feel a little more confident. But
You just got them now?
Well, we had
the new ones, the new updated,
Because I've had four shots.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, we'd already had, yeah, we keep up with it, so.
Okay. And, okay, so the two new members, but they're probably playing what you guys write for them, right? Correct?
Right, yeah. Yeah, we're still, I mean, it's still, Alan and I will always be Double V, but we are recruited too. I mean, really great, a drummer and a.
So what was the concept that Jack the Rider?
Jack the Rider was really born from phonetics, really, because we developed the music first and then start kind of playing around with lyrics. And
so it's like kind of we had to make it into the, you know, it's like we.
Right, he was born first and then the album was kind of born around him because, yeah, it just fit phonetically, Jack the Rider. And we briefly considered Jack the Writer, but. That's a whole different way, and I mean, we could enunciate it differently, and it would sound kind of weird, I think. So.
What was Gene Autry's nickname? Singing Cowboy, right?
Yeah.
He made a, by Griffith Park Observatory here, you know, where the knife fight is in Rebel Without a Cause, Dennis Hopper with the blonde hair. It's really neat. Black cowboy part and stuff, and, you know, not all the just cliches and stuff, and, but was rider like horse rider?
Like bicycle rider.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's actually in the song. Yeah, it's like Jack. So he's like, yeah, he's riding his bicycle.
You know who rode a big thing on a bicycle riding? In fact, the band broke up because this guy was doing 200 clicks, you know, 120 miles a day. No time for music. It was Kraftwerk.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the 80s. There's a, what's the French race, Tour de France? They got a tune called that, and they're using the bicycle chain, you know. I used that idea in my first opera, Contemplating the Engine Room. There's something, there is a rhythm to bicycle ride. There is ride to horses, too, though. I mean,
yeah.
But yeah. What they use in radio, what they call that guy, the Foley, they use coconuts, right? Clop, 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 clop.
Oh yeah, coconut. Do you ride bikes? Don't you ride bikes? Or did
when I was healthier?
Yeah,
I pedaled for a long. Well, for 22 years, for 22 years I didn't ride. When I got a car at 16, I thought they were kids. I was an asshole. And then some guy sold me a 10-speed for $5, and I was 38 years old. I started pedaling again. And then when my knees went bad, I went to kayak. And then I couldn't get the kayak from the boat, so now I do elliptical trainer.
Oh, elliptical's the best, yeah.
Yeah, no slamming. No, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The joints are much better.
Yeah.
And also it's got shit for to hold on to, and if you got bad knees.
Cardio.
That too. Yeah. But just the idea of holding on, so if your knee buckles, you don't crumple.
Yeah. Well,
you crumple, but you don't, you know, no. What did Howard Cosell say? Down goes Frazier. Down goes. I want to play The Question Closed.
mi la chité. Frika y popa de mi homi la kiki. Na frika le noyé, chan mi homi la pussy. La tussi, hele hele la kodi dan ye mouno klodi. Ne ma son si la fion, ke ye mso. Jo me manyo, me lo kui ma desi. Ye la nan la jo la gwe pou me o tade. Jim pussy, mi de pen dale yo. O la santa la pwa chiwa o, o la kisti. Mi ba bit yo, e ya ka o chan. Mi no tu nyate pene mi anon vyo no wa de son. San kou mi jo, mi ya, mi mwa ki tiyo ve mi a jo. Africa ni somme, Africa do ke sino no bata. Somaja. Mi desi mi arokyo.
Roiz vodi svašta, j'étais.
Your glass, so put on another blue wristband, but don't collapse.
When the motorcade hits the street, collapse your hands, collapse your hands, collapse your hands.
What for Pedro show? Yeah, I did some gigs with Flipper as a power trio. Now I can't do. You know, fucking breaks my heart, but I'll get.
Yeah. Hopefully. It's sad to miss
that. Did they find somebody to play bands?
I don't know. It's fucked up.
They played here a lot. Like, do you remember when they played here? Like in
the Minutemen opened for them 41 years ago. Up in the city. Yeah.
Oh. Well, Flipper played a house show about.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about in Oklahoma City.
Right. I had to go home before they played.
Oh, you're still sad about it.
With the Double V and the Question closed. Little Drain Burger, chlorolectal lad fetus for consumption from Rubber O Cement. Man, those dudes got fucking long titles. Lecchio from Yao Bobby and Simon Graham. Ramza, Nekoliko Poza, Odlazak. Yeah, my Serbo creation is pretty fucked up, so I'm very sorry. Uklete Duka. Cherna Zuk with Niko Inista and Armija's Army, and I think this is Slovene. This is all 1983, so it's still Yugoslavia, right? From Trobakova Kushna Preshi. And then finally, Double V with Dangerous World. So let me get this straight. These songs I'm playing kind of went to a big piece, a big opera.
Some of them did. They're kind of mixed up a little bit. Okay. Dangerous World is one of them. The Question's Closed that you played before, that's the last track on our new album.
But, well, Bob, I got to tell you, I didn't know what sequence to put them in, so I just went from shortest to longest.
Okay.
I grouped them in the Starlight Mist in Double V, but that's how I did it, you know, because I didn't really know the integrity, you know, how they're connected.
Oh, it doesn't matter. That's great.
It's all Double V.
Cool.
Right?
Yeah, it's
well, there's three Starlight Mint song and the rest are Double B.
Yeah. And I kind of had a guess that Starlight Mints was before, so that's why I played that first. Because, I didn't think you were in the band.
Yeah, no, never heard them.
Things come in stages, right? Cycles. Life comes in cycles. Old is new. No, I ain't no cycle.
Right. Yeah. Right? We just get lucky our paths crossed at all, you know, so.
Yeah.
She had a radio show. Barb had a, why don't you tell us about the radio show?
Oh, I had a public radio film music program called Filmscapes that was syndicated around the country for a while there. And Alan actually heard it and listened to it, you know, years before.
Probably 10, like 9 years.
Meeting me. Yeah. And then later, like a mutual friend. The second time we met, pointed at me and said, "Oh, that's Barb."
Well, like a PBS,
made that connection.
A PBS NPR thing, or
A public radio.
Okay. Yeah, nationally syndicated.
Yeah. Okay, that's great, man. That kind of inspired me. Well, actually, pirate radio is how I got my start. You know, that's why it's called Watt for Pedro Show, because it was up in Silver Lake. And they only reached 5 miles, so you couldn't really hear it in Pedro.
Yeah, we had a guy, John Mooneyham, who did that in Norman. And it was really cool for a while, a couple of years, two or three years. He had a pirate radio station.
Till the FCC, right?
Yeah.
Same thing happened. This was called KBLT, this station. And in fact, the lady, Paige, ran out of her apartment. She wrote a book about it. It's called 40 Watts Out of Nowhere.
Cool. To read that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what my original thought behind broadcast journalism. I mean, when I was a kid, I just want to own my own radio station, play good music.
Was it Pump Up the Volume, or what was it?
Pump Up the Volume, yeah.
There's Chuck D right there. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, September 21, 2022. Special guest, Double V, hold tight for hour three. September 21, 2022. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
Got his enemy. Look through the people. Thank you. Bye. the doggy, did the dog spin with the cow? See the froggy, caught with the dog spin with the cow? Feel the snake up around your throat as they spin and dance. Fade to black from the river boat as they spin and dance.
Start third hour off with Double V doing Ladder for the People. Luca Aaron with five pedals. Shit. What a tard, man. Kim Boom and Kestner with Roberto Liba. He's a Swedish cat in Berlin. Great slide guitar. Ember Nunn and Mikel Vega with... Really, I don't mean to fuck up everybody's language. I fuck up English too, and it's not on purpose. Tragic Assembly with Reasonable Trash, SLW, Bob Bucko Jr. out of Iowa with Spin and Dancer, and finally, Map the Channels, Double V. So, you say the titles come last. Ladder for the People.
Yeah, that one actually,
we did change the title at the very last minute just because there were other things happening with a similar title to what we had, but...
Yeah, but lyrics always come last. I mean, it's like you want to get the vibe of the song, you know.
Okay, is there a notebook or do you write on demand? Like, here's this.
Well, now we're to the point where we got like Google Docs. Like, so it's like we were writing on Google Docs, and we're like, you know.
What I'm saying is, or what I'm asking is, you got a little trove somehow.
We had little notepads and scraps of paper around the house where we say something like, oh, that'd be a great lyric, you know, scribble it down.
Because some people I ask, they say, no, I write to the moment, I write to that music.
I mean, I have done that for sure, you know, like the Submarine Number 3, that first song you played, Sorry, that was like all like done in like 15 minutes, you know. It's a really rare occasion though when that happens.
Okay. So you mean listening repeated to your music,
yeah.
Start conjuring up the words later.
Yeah.
But you also got this collection you can draw from, a reservoir. That's the word I'm looking for.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, always.
There's a lot of Mint songs that we'd like to go back and redo and put our Double V touch on, but we have so many more original ideas we want to do, too. So.
Yeah, there's never a lack of ideas.
Okay, I want to play Jack. Since we've been talking so much about Jack the Writer, let's play.
He told me twice, he said she'd never give up. Tell me right now, tell me I'm right. jealously of them that are free. Cultivate their flowers just to be nothing more than something they invest in. Some on principles baptized to strict party platform ties, social clubs in drag disguise. Outsiders they can freely criticize, tell nothing except who to idolize and say God bless him. One who sings with his tongue on fire, gargles in the rat race choir, bent out of shape, left beside his flies, cares not to come up any higher, but rather get you down in the hole that he's in. Insult and stuff.
our show, last music for this edition. Start out that chunk with Jack the Rider from Double V. Seedman to the World with Blood. And finally, Last Castaways, Double V. Yeah, I think you were one short. I went and found that one.
Weird. We actually gave you two other songs, I thought.
But no, I only had 10.
That's a good one, though. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one that was actually placed in a video game a couple years ago.
Speaking of which, I went to YouTube.com, and that's where I found it.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's in Beyond Blue, an immersive kind of undersea adventure learning experience.
Sponsored by the BBC.
Yeah, BBC and Blue Planet 2.
Which is Richard Attenborough?
Is that his name? He might narrate a couple of those little videos that you have to, like, attain.
Now, he had a brother. We lost him. He's gone now. But he was in me and Dee Boone's favorite movie when we were boys called The Sand Pebbles with Steve McQueen, 1966. And the book is incredible. I read it when I was helping the Porno for Prado guys. Where can people find you on the internet?
We have a website, doublev.net. That's double V-E-E.
Now we should spell it. D-O-U-B-L-E-V-E-E.
Right. All uppercase except for the V.
A capital V. You can get there either way, but we're the capital V, double V. But we have a Bandcamp.
Some people might just put VV.
Right. Yeah, that won't get there.
I love the fact. Yeah, but you probably got links to that from your own site. I love the fact you got your own site because it's like having your own fanzine. I mean, you could staple up your flyers on the corporate telephone poles, but to have your own, you know, I just think it's great. To me, that was the idea of the internet. It was altruistic parallel for me was, wow, it's like you could, every website can be like your own, everybody's own fanzine, right? No filter, no middleman. But then mm-hmm. everybody runs to Fake Look and Shitter and Instagram. But there's nothing wrong with that let people know about stuff. But
yeah,
that's the only way you exist, you're going to be filtered, you know? So, anyway.
Yeah.
Tell me the process nowadays. Where did you get the name?
Well, we were dating and we were living together. And my last name is Vest. And we would always tease about getting married. I would call Barb my future fiance, which is double F, I guess. But then we got to this notion, which if we were a couple, we'd both be named Vest, so double V.
Well, and there was actually debate at that time that Alan kind of did want to take my last name. But since his name is kind of established, we figured we should probably stick with it.
You know, the letter W actually is two V's.
Exactly. That's part of it.
Yeah, we hear that quite frequently.
If you go to Germany, they pronounce V's like F's and W's like V's. It's trippy about using one alphabet for everybody's different sounds in Europe. Mm-hmm. There. Yeah, that's a trippy thing. And tell me the process now. You've been together a couple years and stuff, doing the double V. What's the process when you're bringing in the new things?
Well, we have so many ideas that it's like, for our last record, I kind of, like, let Barb pick the ideas, you know.
Well, I mean, it's a mutual thing where we go through and listen and figure out, and then...
I've heard the ideas more than anybody, you know, so it's just kind of like, I feel like that, you know.
Yeah, all of the songs except for The Questions Closed were based on previous snippets or earlier song, but Questions Closed we wrote from the ground up.
You know, when I have improv musicians on, one of my questions is, who goes first?
Right.
Right? Because I've learned, it's a lot about listening with improv. Like Nels Klein asked, what's your favorite? Because he's got 50 pedals right there. It's the volume pedal.
Yeah.
So you can get out of the way of a good idea. So, okay, I understand now. I understand, Bart.
I'm not much of a pedal guy. I'm actually, I like.
No, I just use that as a fucking metaphor. That's what it's for.
But I mean, there's so many people that are like pedal people. I've
seen gigs where dudes don't even have a guitar. It's just pedals.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a table, right? It's a table with pedals.
People are doing loops and weird shit like that, you know, these days.
Well, you know, whatever. That actually was one of the ideas of the movement in the 70s. Whatever you got up on stage, there was a cat named Zev. He'd hang pieces of metal and almost get killed by the shit hit it with hammers. And shit.
Yeah, you know, I've seen some stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, whatever it takes. I never thought the movement was about a style of music. I thought it was like a launch pad, a springboard. So, do you guys look backwards? You were talking about Sonic Youth a little bit, and you were talking. Although, but those were earlier bands. Double V really doesn't look backwards.
Not really, no. I mean.
Yeah, we're not getting any younger, so. We're kind of focused on what, yeah, can we do the rest of our time here, you know?
Yeah, next album.
Next album.
Probably next single, you know, it's kind of like it's almost feel, I feel like that, we put out two albums and an EP, let's just put some singles out.
But when you have a release, already you're thinking of the next thing, huh? Even though worked so hard to get it all together, and then all of a sudden,
this album came out like 3 months ago, four months ago, and we finished it over a year and a half. I mean, we finished it like 2021 in June. So it was like over a year that we mastered the record that we put it out because of COVID and finances and stuff.
No wine before it's time, Mr. Wells learns. Look, when you come out with that new single, will you come back on the show and we can talk about what you're doing? Also, you're doing film scores, right?
It's a competitive world.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, yeah.
There's a drummer cat, Cliff Martinez, right? He's on the last Captain Beefheart album. He's really good at it. Go to his website. Being a drummer, man, I tell you, that's an asset. I'm so glad, Alan, you fucking taught yourself that. That's bitching. It's been a big honor to have both you and Barb on. Thank you so much, truly.
Thank you, Mike. We are the ones who are honored. We appreciate you. It's tough to get the word out as an unsigned band, so having someone like you being interested, I mean, we love you and appreciate you so much.
Oh, you're most kind. People, it's been September 21, 2022. Just show up for Pedo Show. Keep your powder dry.